This year, incarceration will separate 150,000 children from their mothers. That's according to the documentary Apart, which also shows the ruptures in the relationships that mothers have with their children as a result of their incarceration. But in Cleveland, Ohio, there's a program that seeks to help mothers reunite with their kids and rebuild those relationships. Apart follows three women in the program for 3 years to show just how hard it is to become a parent again after prison. The film airs tonight as part of PBS's Independent Lens series. And joining me now is director Jennifer Redfern. Welcome.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you so much for having me.
So what made you choose these particular women to profile?
Before choosing these women to profile, I actually pre-interviewed over 24 women. And because there's been this massive increase of women going into the system since the beginning of the war on drugs, and 80% of the women in the system are mothers, I was looking for women who were incarcerated because of drugs or drug-related charges, and then also looking for women who were mothers. So I interviewed about 24 women, and then chose these particular women because of their cases, and also because of their, they were in a place where they were ready to share their stories, and their families were also very open in sharing their stories.
So for all three of these women, and I imagine for most mothers in this situation, leaving their children behind to start their sentences was agonizing. Let's listen to one of them, Tamika, who left behind a sweet baby girl.
I remember looking back at my family and looking back at my daughter. She had on this little sailor suit. That was the hardest thing that I've had to do so far in life. Life was hard coming up, you know, but leaving my daughter was just like heartbreaking.
Tell us a little more about Tamika and how she ended up in prison.
So since 1980, the number of women in prison, as I said, has grown by 800%. And a big part of the drug war was harsh sentencing. And so Tamika is, her case is, a really strong example of this. She was threatened with 32 years for trafficking ecstasy and marijuana and fought the case for several years. She ended up taking a plea for 10, and it was part of a mandatory minimum sentence. And her judge even told us that if it were up to him, he would have released her after 6 months or on parole. So this is an incredibly harsh sentence. And as she shares in the clip, her daughter was 6 months when she was sent to prison. And when she's released, when she finally released from prison, her daughter was 9.5 years old. So she missed this incredibly long and important part of her daughter's childhood.
I mean, I feel like the film really made me think deeply about not just minimum sentencing, but also the war on drugs and the way we treat drug users, which is something that has come up for reconsideration in recent years. And that brings us to Amanda, who is a young single mother who has one son. And she went to prison for drug offenses as well. But here she is talking about one of her greatest fears in terms of leaving prison.
I have people who want me to do well when I get out. But those people are the same people who, if I wanted to get high, would be the first to get high with me. Mm-hmm. Like my mom. My mom did 2 prison numbers and left smoking crack from the parking lot both times. You know, I'm disassociating myself with the old people I used to just because I don't know if I'm strong enough. My will's been busted and broken so many times, I don't know how it's going to fare around people who aren't good for me.
So your film follows this program that's designed to help somebody just like Amanda. Can it help someone whose family members and friends are going to tempt them to get right back into what put them in prison?
Yeah, it's an incredibly tough transition. And there are several things that the program does to try and help women make this transition back home. And so there There are different parts of the program. There's these group sessions where a social worker works with the women and talks to them about addiction and restoring their relationships. So they cover sort of attend to the emotional needs of the women in that part of the program. And then in another part of the program, there's a job, it's called job readiness part of the program, where they help them with interviewing and their resume. And so all of this is sort of designed to help them make this transition. But you raise a really important point that if women are transitioning back into communities where they might encounter people that, from their past, this can be really difficult. And so in Amanda's case, she wants to rebuild this life for her son and break that cycle of trauma and addiction and incarceration. And so she actually decides not to return home, but to rebuild in Cleveland, the place where the reentry program is. And she leaves prison with, she told us, the clothes on her back and less than $100 to her name, and now has to start rebuilding. Fortunately for Amanda, she had support from people within the reentry program, but there are, hundreds, thousands of women who don't have that support, who are making that incredibly difficult transition from prison back home.
You know, it's really common when listeners will hear stories like these and think, this is tragic, but also, if you do the crime, you do the time. But I feel like your documentary sort of gets beyond that argument, because you have people like Lydia. Lydia is the third person you profile. She describes herself as a soccer mom, a husband, two kids. She says her entire life was centered around those kids, but she got injured. She was prescribed painkillers and she got addicted. She eventually ended up taking heroin because, like so many people, the opioid painkillers didn't do it after some time. And she says before she was arrested, she and her oldest son were really close. But then we have this intense scene where she's talking to him and he's just staring at her without speaking. Let's listen.
I feel like you just grew up without me. Like you were little and now all of a sudden you're too big to do everything. Or you think you're too big to do everything.
Mm-hmm. That just killed me. I mean, as a mother myself, he's saying the least amount to her. He's angry at her. He wants to remain distant from her. What did you think of whether or not all of these relationships can be repaired?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And we see with all of the women in the film, we see them sort of reaching across this divide. And in this also, they're in the visitation room in prison and there are guards around and there are other families around and they're trying to have these, really important conversations with their children and maintain those relationships, despite the distance. What we see, I think, in Lydia's story is that it really takes time. As a filmmaker, a documentary filmmaker, I wasn't sure where the story would go, but I knew that this was incredibly important to her and to all of the women to, maintain and restore these relationships. And what we see in Lydia's story is the time and the effort that it takes to rebuild those relationships.
And some of the work is mental or emotional on their part. Mm-hmm. I was really struck at one point, one of the leaders in the program was speaking to a group of these women and he says to them, "You are not a felon. You have a felony on your record." And I thought that must be so hard for them to accept and stop identifying themselves by their time spent in prison. Mm-hmm. How much of this work did you find as you followed these women for 3 years? How much of this work did you find was convincing themselves that they can move on?
Yeah, that's, I think, it's such an important part of not only the transition home from prison, but also what happens after is, I think, attending to the emotional needs of people who have been stigmatized. And I love that moment in the film because what he's saying to them is, you are not the worst moment in your life. You are so much more than that. And I mean, imagine if you were defined by one of the worst moments in your life and that followed you around from job to job and housing application to housing application. So it's a really important part of the work that they're doing to understand that that's not who they are, that's not their identity. And I also think it's a really important part of the work that we need to do as a society to help people make this transition home so that they can get a job, they can get stable housing, and they can support themselves and their families and move on.
Jennifer Redfern is the director of the documentary Apart, about three women who are trying to reunite with their children after their time in prison. It airs tonight on PBS's Independent Lens. And for more information, go to hearandnow.org. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.